If you like baseball, then this is your show. Noah and Brian and Adam will host. Trashing on the umps and making hot takes. We love Joe Panic because he rakes.
Yeah!
It's Nonstop Baseball Podcast. It's Nonstop Baseball Podcast.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to episode 133 of the Nonstop Baseball Podcast. We are so back, and it feels like really in the groove of things now. It feels like we are, I mean, obviously we're still in the beginning of the season, but it feels like it's, I don't know, it's not that super fresh feeling, and we've got a better feel for some teams. And for some teams, it's hard to believe the feel that we've got for them.
Yeah.
Shout out Houston one. But yeah, before we get into that and some of the storylines, and because yeah, there's some, you know, some big-ish news this week and just some fun names to talk about. Let's just say what up to everybody. I am Noah, joined as always by Brian and Adam. You could follow us at Nonstop BB Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And yeah, Adam, how's it going?
Dude, going good. Yeah, I mean, we're turning the corner on finishing up April. First, you know, good month end of baseball, and yeah, it definitely is the full swing feeling. Everything underway. You got nice long weeks of baseball under us. So it's good.
Yeah. I was just with my students. I'm a fifth grade teacher, for those of us that don't know. Looking at our district calendar, and then we're like, wow, 25 school days left. And then,
wow.
And I get to be a full-time baseball sicko, so I'm excited about that. But yeah, so if you're a parent or someone in school, end of the school year is coming up, love that, and you just get to enjoy baseball on a more regular basis. Yeah, good times ahead, and present, of course, as well. Brian, how's it going?
I mean, a lot worse now. I'm just thinking about the lack of summer break I get at my job. Like, having to work the summer thing. Kind of a bummer. Yeah. But no, I'm doing good. The Giants are starting to play better. A much more watchable team. I believe it's the first time all season they won two series in a row. Wow, give it up. It only took a couple weeks. We are 30 games into the season, but hey, they finally did it. And I feel like just looking at the American League, it's chaos over there. Like, I feel like the National League's been like, not like, there's not really anything too crazy in the National League going on, division wise. But AL,
it's a mess
over there.
It's weird. It's weird out
it's
here.
It's a mess. Shout out the third place Oakland A's.
I mean,
just like we drew it up.
You got. Air Sig is kind of gone under the radar because what's the main reliever's name?
Mason Miller?
Mason Miller.
Yeah. Mason Miller is on the brink.
Yeah. And then, I mean,
but not fair.
Yeah, their bullpen's been really, really solid in general. And then, you know, I mean, 12-17. So it's not like they're doing anything
they're
crazy.
They're not a winning team, but.
Yeah. They're five games under 500, but at least they have double digit wins, unlike the freaking Astros. So.
Yeah,
dude, take that. And Kyle Tucker's playing pretty solid too. So,
yeah, I mean
last night some of
the other guys. Your problem.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The Astros is Jose Abreu is certifiably awful right now. And bottom
Bregman,
of that,
right?
Huh?
Bregman too, I believe.
Yeah, Bregman's not doing good either. I'm not nearly to the level of Abreu. Bregman's still hitting .216. Granted, hasn't hit a home run yet. Neither has Abreu.
I mean, he's
but Abreu's
a very comfortable dinner time there. .555 OPS. So
yeah, well, Abreu's batting .01. .099. So under 100. Wow. So bad. I think is
you know
call that one.
And then when we talk about the Angels, I feel like I can sum it up in one quick sentence. Mike Trout has 10 home runs and 14 RBIs.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is insane.
Nobody is getting on base.
14 RBIs. This dude is trying to put the team on his back. An 882 OPS. And it is just nothing there.
Yeah, it's a rough, rough time for the Angels.
Joe Adell does have a one dot, which is crazy because he's made all those base running mistakes. But I don't know what's going on with the Angels.
Joe Adell is the major league experiment of how far talent can take you. Talent and hard work, but no baseball IQ.
Yeah, dude, he has a one dot though.
I know. Look, it's working. Don't get me wrong. The dude can hit. But. Yeah, the base running errors are not good. They are bad, bad.
He is 5-for-9 in stolen bases. Hey, maybe if you're getting thrown off 50% of the time, let's just not do it.
Yeah.
Bold idea.
Yeah, whatever. Oh, man. Yeah, no, the Angels are a mess, but yeah, certainly not as a surprising of a mess as the Astros. So.
Oh, well, yeah. But this is true. This is true.
I mean.
And I fear America's team is back.
Yeah. Oh.
And you know I'm talking about the Seattle Mariners. Guardians.
Who are at the top. Oh. Mariners are at the top of their division.
19-9. Let's go, Guards.
That's
Guardians are hot.
Guards.
Guardians are hot.
Guardians are
Josh
hot.
Naylor one time.
Yeah, Steven Josh Naylor Juan is a freak. Dude, the clip of, I forgot to mention it last week, but it was like one of my favorite all-time psycho clips I've seen in baseball, where Naylor just hits this bomb, and as he's going down the first baseline, breaks a bat over his head.
Yeah, Josh Naylor's a psycho. I love
that. That is full psycho, and I love it. Like, if you're doing that, we're in April, dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, you might not expected. Josh Naylor, 2 stolen bases, but also 2 caught stealings. But I feel like those caught stealings are kind of like for the vibes when it comes to Naylor, so I'll let it slide.
Yeah, we'll let that happen.
Yeah, this team, I mean, and it's always the pitching, the young pitching with Cleveland. I bet I pull up their game started. There's some young kid who I hadn't even heard of. Yeah, Ben Lively. I don't know who that is. 3 starts, 2.3 ERA. Like, I feel like it's just a guaranteed when I pull up the Guardians, there's going to be some pitcher I haven't heard of who's done really well.
Yeah, I mean, and they need it, especially with Shane Bieber being done for the year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, you got to have more of those guys in reserve. And of any of the teams that are going to have those guys in reserve, it's going to be Cleveland.
Yeah. No, and Emmanuel Clase, like, you expect nothing
Lights
else.
Out. He's been
14 innings, 0.6
awesome.
ERA.
Yeah, he has been.
You have
awesome
a 0.6
so
ERA and 2 blown saves. That's kind of crazy, though.
Yep.
Like,
that is funny. He's not clutch.
Yeah, it's what happens when you get unearned runs. It's what happens when you get unearned runs.
Yeah.
You still blow the that? You still blow the save, but you don't, you know, doesn't ding you.
Been in 15 games, has 15 strikeouts, and only 1 walk. You love to see that.
I mean, if you want to talk about that stat, there's a starter for the actual America's team. Let's be real. George Kirby, who over his first 62 career starts has 45 walks.
First, how many?
62.
Also, here,
that's stupid. That's a silly number. Like, that's like
that's
a number
games,
that
no
doesn't
walks.
Make sense.
A lot of
also like blocks. Check this out, his first game against Boston opening day, he had 2 walks and we're all like, what is happening?
Yeah,
he walked 2 guys in that, and like ever since then it's been 0-0-0 and then last 2 starts 1 in each with an absolute, but just an absolute anomaly on opening day, 2 walks. How dare he?
Yeah, disgusting, honestly, how just that he could do something like that. But yeah, I mean, that's my kind of pitcher right there. Just no free passes. Yeah. Why would you do that? That's so dumb. Just don't let people have free passes. Make them work for it.
So yeah, who wins the AL West?
Oh, it's still Texas. What are you like? I'm not.
I'm
not stupid.
I'm just checking.
I mean, I guess I got a ride with my Mariners, but I just haven't been enjoying the offense a ton, to be honest. But then no one else is convincing me, obviously.
Me and Noah were talking last week, and I made the declaration that in Seattle is where second basemen go to die. Jorge Polanco, Colton Wong, Adam Frazier. Like, it's rough, whoever plays second base in Seattle. I don't know what it is about it, but, dude, I thought this Polanco move was going to be amazing, and it has been pretty rough. I mean, he has a 160 batting average, 568 OPS, so.
Yeah, him and Bregman are having dinner together.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And so is J.P. Crawford. Like, your infield, not giving you much the middle of the infield.
J.P. Crawford, there's a lot of hope on him after his great year last year. And then Polanco and Garver were your two big ads. And they're all having dinner together with Bregman right now. So,
oh, man, that's
bad.
That's not good.
You never
good.
Want multiple guys on your team eating dinner that early. That's all.
Yeah, that is. It's not good.
We got to time this up better. Not we play good, baseball dude. Late at night, not at 5.
Yeah, Ty France also, after a disappointing year last year, everyone was like, he's going to bounce back. Not bounced back yet. So, Mitch Haniger also. I mean, it's really Cal Raleigh is the only one doing anything good right now, and he's got a 755 OPS.
Okay, Josh Rojas, 882 OPS.
I was looking at qualified.
Yeah, he's played 21 games. I don't know. 64 at-bats. I mean, that's enough where I'll respect it. That's,
oh yeah, for sure. My
I guess early on, well, yeah, the qualifications early on, I guess, are kind of funky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, Seattle being carried by pitching for sure.
Yeah. And we mentioned all these players, but Julio Rodriguez really is who it's going to fall on the end of the day. Like, he's got to be better.
It was interesting. Flat out, no doubt. speaking of Julio Rodriguez, when I was gathering some talking points for this podcast and such, I saw this post on the MLB Reddit that was basically getting at, is Julio Rodriguez overhyped or is Michael Harris the second underhyped? Because they're both 23-year-old center fielders in their third season. Michael Harris has at least one gold glove. I'm not sure about Julio. I forget. They're both solid defensively, but apparently Michael Harris the second better in terms of average on base, slugging on base or OPS, base running value, defensive runs, K percentage, whiff rate, and then it says here WAR per 500 plate appearances as well. So I was just interesting to think of, you know, what your guys' take on that. Are we overlooking Michael Harris the second, or maybe are we overstating Julio Rodriguez?
I would say it's definitely just like overlooking Michael Harris. And I said overlooking and not underrating, because when you look at that Braves lineup,
it's stupid.
It's an absurd lineup.
Yeah.
Like, when you're talking about hitters on the Atlanta Braves, how many names do you say before you get to Michael Harris? Right? Acuna, Matt Olson, Ozzie Albies might get thrown out there before him, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, Ozuna has like legit been one of the best hitters in baseball for the last
Ozuna has been like the perfect DH. Like,
yeah, no.
literally just exactly what you want from a DH.
Yeah, but that's why I think we're just kind of overlooking Michael Harris, because he's at the bottom of the lineup, and because, like, he's not the one having to put the team on his back on a nightly basis to win games. Julio Rodriguez has to do that if the Seattle Mariners are going to go into the playoffs and go deep, right? That's just a fact of the matter.
Also, talking about buried in the bottom of the lineup and talking about these two teams, Jared Kelenic is batting 300. He's got a 730. Okay. He has a 731 OPS with no home runs, which is actually impressive.
Obvious thing in the world.
Oh yeah, you knew Kelenic was gonna just show up and be good for the Braves.
Be a perfect
because of course
fourth
he
outfielder.
Is. Because of course, why wouldn't he?
But back to what we were talking about, I was, I don't know, as we were talking this out as well, I was thinking, well, yeah, and also maybe if you put Julio Rodriguez in that Braves lineup and he has the same protection Michael Harris does, that OPS might be a little different too.
Yeah, this is true.
But no, yeah, I think it was an interesting argument. I think they're a lot closer level than maybe an average fan might think. And just especially when you consider what, you know, MH2 does in center field. Both of them are great, but I think Harris has a little bit of a leg up there. And just, yeah, just an 800 to mid-800s OPS consistently since 2022 and just doing his thing. Absolute stud. Everyone's locked up. So Michael Harris II might go down as one of the, just the all-time overlooked players because he's just going to be on that team doing his thing as like the fifth best guy at best for a few years now.
He's one of those best players that like 20 years from now, somebody's going to bring him up and you're going to be like, who? And then you're going to look at his stats and be like, how did we not talk about him?
How many Hall of Famers is this Braves team going to produce?
Oh man, that's hard.
That's just a wild, like, that's like a wild thing to think about. Someone's going to burn out, right? It just is what it is. Maybe two. But like,
it's also just so hard because there's so few of them that are deep enough into a career to have like the kind of body of work that you go, yes, I believe that they could get it to get through there. Like, funny enough, the only one that has that kind of body of work that even might be fringe is maybe Sale. But even Sale is like, brand new to this Braves team and kind of, you know,
and a lot fringe of it's Hall of Famer. Like,
that is such an interesting question to me. If Sale were to get elected into the Hall of Fame, what hat is he wearing?
Man, you know what? That is a very interesting question.
It has to be a Sox hat. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It has to be a pink Sox hat. It's a pink Sox hat, obviously.
It's just a different sock logo. It's just neither team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a Bobby Sox hat.
Then what if he wins like one or even two championships with the Braves and is like a big guy?
If it was right now and he was elected, I feel like it would have to be a White Sox hat.
Oh, really? I would say Red Sox right now.
Really?
He had the 300 strikeout season with the Red Sox. World Series with the Red Sox.
I think he had
a lot of tough.
I think the way it ended with the White Sox doesn't.
He had his best single season with the Red Sox, and the World Series. But I think the string of seasons ahead of that for the White Sox is just so much more dominant and overall, and not strung with injuries or anything else, that I feel like when I think of what Hall of Fame caliber Sale was, I'm like, yeah, it was that like early 2010s White Sox run of like 5 years where he just put up 200 innings almost every single season and was just nuts.
Or you could retire a Boston Red Sox. Like, I feel like just the name value, there's no way he doesn't pick the Red Sox, even though I get your argument. Unless, I think if he's on the Braves for 5 years and they win the two World Series, like Noah said.
Oh, then, yeah.
That, yeah, 5 years, two World Series, it's hard to say it's not Braves. Now, does he have 5 seasons left in him? Probably not. Who knows? But
right now, I would say Red Sox as well, just because I think it's also like this is the team that went out and they got me, they wanted me, and then they paid me, and I won here, and it wasn't exactly what I wanted, but things like that. But I think, I think it would have to be between Red Sox and then Braves for me right now, just assuming that his Braves tenure is what pushes him into the Hall of Fame. But yeah, that was interesting. I never thought about that before.
It makes me so sad that Bumgarner never had a second wind with a different team.
Oh yeah,
I would have loved for him to actually be good with another team and just root from him from afar and just be like, that's my boy, right? That's my guy.
Right,
look at him dominating over there. And I just don't get that. I guess Gosman's all I get, which I'm not mad about. I love watching Gosman dominate. But, man, dude, Bumgarner would have been a fun one, though.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just trying to pull up. I was trying to use baseball references like comparison. Just to pull up sales splits different, like, between White Sox and Red Sox. And, like, they're pretty similar, like, funny enough.
Yeah.
Like, they're really not that far off. 135 ERA plus for the White Sox. That's including his rookie year and, like, that's including all of his White Sox time. To a 141 ERA plus for the Red Sox. I mean, the biggest difference being the innings pitched, where he did 1,110 for the White Sox and 670 and two-thirds for the Red Sox. But, I mean, a flat three.
Well, I didn't realize how much he pitched for the White Sox.
Yeah, he put together his 2012 to 2016 run was 192 innings, 214, 174, 208, 226.
Wow, yeah.
Like, the dude was crazy for the White Sox. Yeah, they're very similar seasons, oddly enough. Or similar like total splits. Yeah, either way. A fun thought experiment.
No doubt. I'm trying to think where to go. I mean, there's a big story that we could go down as well. And that is, of course, that Jackson Holliday, after starting the year in AAA and then before the kind of service time day happened, the Phillies were like, you know what? Let's call him up. We don't care about the service time. This guy's ready. He's crushing lefties in the minor leagues.
Orioles, not the Phillies.
Yep.
The Philly. Oh, yeah. I was between talking about Alec Boehm and Jackson Holliday. Because Alec Boehm is, like, one of the best hitters in baseball. We'll get to that. Don't worry. But, yeah, Jackson Holliday on the Phillies would be a little terrifying. But not this version.
Yeah, not this
version. Yeah, well, maybe terrifying for him getting booed so mercilessly. But, yeah, he had, like, a historically bad start to his career. I think in terms of, I don't know if it was OPS or OPS plus, like, top five worst of
so
all time.
I'm gonna hit
he's
you
like
right
two
here.
For 36, I think.
I'm going to hit you as OPS as of right now in the 10 games that he was playing for the Orioles. Is a 170. Baby, that's lunchtime. That's real bad.
definitely did not seem prepared. That's rough.
Yeah, 34 ABs, had two hits.
Man, dude.
18 strikeouts and two walks.
There's this whole argument that, like, the minor leagues isn't as good as it once was. And I mean, like, stuff like that, I feel like, shows it. They're like, AAA has gotten so much younger than it ever has been before. So you don't have as many of those just, like, 30-year-old veterans grinding it away in the minors for 10 years like that. They're not nearly as common as they used to be. So the level, there's just a bigger gap from AAA to the majors than ever before. And I think Jackson Holliday having a one dot in AAA and coming to the majors and doing this shows still a really hard game and an insanely hard transition.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't necessarily think any of the, like, wrong choices were made. It just didn't work out. Because it was out. Like, what else did you want him to do in the minor leagues to start the year? And so, yeah, now you kind of have this data of how he was getting beat. So it's like, let's go work on that. Let's gain some confidence. And then we'll come back later. Cause it was like, I mean, the Orioles just have too many guys. You couldn't,
I don't think
you could have kept him up much longer.
Yeah. I was also about to say, like, Orioles fans, like, come on, dude, they can't all be bangers. Like, come on, dude, join the rest of us and sometimes have a dud come up. Dude, all right.
It's even like the guy who was struggling in Westberg is just, like, going off this year. We talked about him, I want to say, last week or the week before.
Yeah.
Like, that team is just nuts.
Come on, dude. Like, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. You got Rutschman, you got Westberg, you got Gunnar Henderson. Like, come on. They can't all be bangers. You deserve one
let's be
kind
honest,
of failed
though.
Experiment.
Let's be honest here. Holiday's gonna figure it out. Like, I feel like I'm very confident in that.
Yeah.
It's in his blood. Like, there's no way he's this bad.
Yeah. Also, like, it's 20.
Bold.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's 20 years old.
Come on, dude.
Too.
Like, dude's got so long.
I was literally dumb at 20. So
yet again, another bold statement.
Bold. I don't know, man. Citation.
This is why, you know, just having these conversations is so fun. When Brian was talking about the minor leagues and the worsening of the quality of it, obviously we have players get sent to like Dominican leagues and stuff like that during the winter, and just to get additional experience. Do you think in the future there will ever be like almost soccer style a type of like loaning or sending players to like Japan or Korea? Especially I think Japan would probably be the hottest commodity of like being really close, having a lot of major league quality talent, but not quite being the major leagues.
That is super interesting.
Sorry to cut you off there, but some of the Japanese teams and MLB teams had partnerships that I forget what rule they changed this offseason, but they had to break apart those partnerships.
So
like it was kind of like a scouting line, right? Or am I wrong in saying that, Adam?
I don't know about that. Oh, okay. I know the problem that I can foresee is the major thing that would have to change is I know for KBO, your roster can only have five foreign players. You can't have more than that.
But they would probably take
it might be three.
Three foreign, it's pretty players, low. It would just come from majors though, like I can see that,
which just come from majors, but like that's the kind of thing that like I don't know, that would be interesting. I also feel like if a system like that had to happen, you'd have to like, if it was KBO, the KBO would have to expand. If it's Japan, probably not. KBO doesn't have enough teams to.
Yeah, so like I just found an article that I sent you guys that we can't read because it's paywalled, but the first. But it's talking about how like there was a partnership made, and it was mostly for scouting purposes, where these MLB teams would kind of like get all their background data on all these players, so they could get like essentially scouting information on a bunch of players. And MLB has stepped in and had them stop doing that, which is interesting. But I don't know, the idea of loaning a player out, like just one or two guys, like the guys that we always talk about as being like quadruple A, right? Like for the Giants right now, that's Heliot Ramos, right? He came up super young, was supposed to be good, and he's been in AAA for like 2-3 years now. He's 25, 26. Like maybe he could benefit from going to play in Japan for a year and come back.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's a very interesting idea.
Yeah. Limit for Japan is four. Players. No organizational limit, but four on the active roster. So,
yeah,
I mean, you could send somebody to the Japanese minor leagues, I guess, but that's.
Nah, that probably wouldn't happen.
That's going to be a little a little too far removed.
Imagine drafting an 18-year-old kid and sending him to the Japanese minor leagues. Yeah,
seriously.
That kid would be like, what is going on?
What is happening? He's just so lost.
Maybe in, you know, far down the line, but it would just be difficult because in soccer, it's obviously a lot of it's in Europe where everything's a lot closer together and, you know, not, you know, similar cultures. And I think just, different, you know, it'd be, and it's just like crazy different time zones. So, but I don't know. I just think that would be interesting to see, or maybe like, you know, like you were mentioning those quadruple A type players that maybe have been grinding it out in the minor leagues for a while. Just, well, I guess have been seeing it, but maybe it becoming more common where they're just going to Japan or Korea for a year or two and then trying to come back. Because it is just the level that's going to challenge you more than the minors, as it seems.
But I feel like if we do that, it almost worsens the issue I'm talking about, where AAA and majors, the gap is just, that would just further widen the gap in my mind, because you see a lot of those veterans
probably
go play elsewhere.
So then maybe the solution is, I don't know, like I said, like seeing some young, exciting prospects. But I don't know, just the loan system, I don't know how it would work out, you know, logistically.
It would be tough. It would be very tough logistically, I think.
Like, why can't the Dodgers just loan some of their top prospects to the A's, see what happens?
Okay. Huh. Now we're talking.
Huh, hold on. Hey, wait a minute. I thought
we were talking about minor to majors.
Yeah, yeah. I also just was like looking, I just looked into it as well, because I know KBO is only 10 teams. Japanese Baseball League is only 12. And to also look it up, because Dominican would be the other, like, I don't know, do you send people to the Dominican Professional League? That has only 6 teams. So,
yeah.
Like,
it wouldn't be a lot of players. It would be like one player a team if it happened. Like, there's no other real, maybe some teams would have two.
Honestly, I feel like I could see the MLB to MLB team loan thing happening before, like, and you know, Japanese loaning.
It'd be the A's entire roster.
Yeah,
they would just get loaned. Start loaning everyone. It would just never actually be good.
It'd be so weird. I like, how would that even work? Because the other because the thing there, right, is like when you're talking about it with soccer, right, you're not loaning to a, like, Premier League teams aren't loaning to another Premier League team.
Yes, they are.
They are.
I'm pretty sure that's happened. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Not even
Bundesliga
like
team, yeah, in the same league they'll be loan players to the same. I remember a few years ago.
Not even a level lower.
Nope.
No. Interesting. Dortmund had one of their lone players score 2 goals against them.
Okay, that's funny.
That's brutal.
That's funny.
Yeah. And yeah, that's happened. No, yeah. So yeah, it's more common to a different league, but it will happen pretty much every season in every league where it's in the same league.
Okay. I just haven't paid attention.
Yeah. It was hilarious. It was like the same exact corner routine as well, and the guy scored in the same way twice.
It's like, hey, like,
let's get this guy back right now.
You know what though? I just thought of something though. You know what this loan system could really solve though? It could solve Fisher saying you could see exciting players like Aaron Judge hit home runs because he could be an Oakland A if he got loaned.
Let's be honest here. I don't think the Yankees would be loaning a lot of players.
Imagine the instead of DFAing a player, or like instead of DFAing or like doing like rehab like games at AAA, you do your rehab games for the A's.
Oh my. I feel so bad for Oakland A fans. Just side note.
It's bad.
I'm sorry.
That's bad, man.
We're going to keep making fun of you, but...
To be fair, though, that's a 12-win ball club. There's plenty of teams below
that.
That
is a third-place ball club.
You got two teams below them in their division. And then you got the Marlins and Rockies as well below them.
Yeah, speaking of a third-place ball club that we need to address... The New York Mets, baby. Mark Vientos with a great walk-off home run Sunday. And then what happened today? I know Severino was going no-hitter for a long time. Did they end up winning for our guy Greg? Sorry.
If we want to be watching some no-hitters while we're doing this, there's actually a dual no-hitter going on right now. So that's something to keep track of. Braves and the Mariners game.
Perfect segue. Max Fried earlier this week had a complete game shutout that was also a Maddux, which is a complete game under 100 pitches.
Yep.
And yeah, he's right back to doing his thing after a very tough start. I think he had two just like nuclear starts, and now he's back at it.
To be fair,
no-hitter going.
He has 90 pitches, and it's the bottom of the six, so... Yeah. Strong chance he doesn't get a chance to finish this out.
The Mets, by the way, did not win.
Let's go.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's all about the Mets.
Severino Severino gave up one run.
It's all about the Mets.
Eighth that tied it, and then Edwin Diaz lost.
Let's go Mets.
Yeah, but you want to? Last I checked, let me make sure this is right.
I think Jeff McNeil's an imposter.
Sorry, explain.
I mentioned it last week. 657 yeah. OPS. He's just not a real human. He's gone. He's an imposter.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. DJ Stewart, our main guy, has cooled off a little bit, but still, like an 800 OPS with a 200 batting average, which that's fun.
Hey, we
that's
take those.
Very fun. Yeah.
Let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets, baby.
It's all about the Mets. Yeah, I mean, ooh. Boy, Severino, though, just in general, oh. What a interestingly, like, good turnaround for to go from a straight-up atrocious season for the Yankees to, so far, starting pretty well for the Mets. Kind of surprising.
But where's Pete Alonso getting traded to?
Boy, oh boy. I don't know.
A lot of those... I mean, Severino, Quintana, and Minaya all really solid starts for the Mets. So just want to shout that out. We kind of were hating on them a little bit. I wouldn't say proper hating, but we were just like, these are guys you would be really excited if they're your four or five.
Yes, that is true. And they've all shored up to be, you'd be really excited if they were your two or three.
So far.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah, Severino, 2.31 ERA. 31 strikeouts over 35 innings. So he's not punching out the world, but he's getting the job done.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been
106 whip.
He has been up there as one of the more sort of surprising, good starters. I think the other one that I kind of want to shout out on a team that we properly dumped on as well a little bit, except for Noah, who predicted them to win the division, but Lance Lynn for the old Cardinals. Lance Lynn's doing pretty good, sitting at a 2.64 ERA over his six starts. Only one win, no losses, because the Cardinals are still not that good. Lance Lynn, I mean, surprising. It's his age 36 season, kind of coming off of last year, which was a weird one. And then, you know, the kind of last year that he had with the White Sox, which wasn't incredible, but not bad either. Good to see Big Lance Lynn still dealing.
Geez, shout out Mason Wynn, and then of course Wilson Contreras, but other than that, it is nothing going on for the Cardinals offense. It is just
graveyard.
But
at least if you take players that started with them, they have a real MLB outfield.
My gosh, yeah.
A Rosarena, Adelis Garcia, Tyler O'Neill. Our outfield's looking legit.
Yeah, if you want another pitcher there, you could throw in Zach Gallen. It's to the point. Oh, yeah. If the Cardinals offer you a trade, don't even really? Think. Just
take
yes.
it. Yeah. Take it.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like Tyler O'Neill is just incredible. And like he got injured, and then he came back and was like, you know what? I'm still amazing. He's got a little bit of the Trout syndrome where he has 9 home runs and 12 RBI. Oh, he finally had his first home run with a man on base recently.
Huge.
But yeah, I mean, you know, you like a 3.45 slash line. He's got a 3.29, 4.47, 7.29 slash line. So yeah, it is crazy out there. I mean, and yeah, offense is turning around. Obviously, Casas. That's brutal. But yeah, and then like it's funny, we keep saying every week, yeah, the pitching's not gonna be like this all year for the Red Sox. And obviously maybe not to this level, but I think it could be very solid all year because I mean we keep saying it and they keep doing it. Hauk is looking like an absolute stud. And it's crazy if they could just not be so dumb on defense.
Is the 2024 Red Sox the 2021 Giants? How do they just keep doing it? They're supposed to cool down.
Better comparison is the 2024 Red Sox the 2021 Red Sox, because that was kind of the same thing.
True.
Though maybe with a little bit more firepower.
a little bit more on the. Either way, I mean, yeah, they're dealing better than anybody else right now as far as pitching is concerned.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the top like strikeout leaders in MLB.
Yeah,
and there is something hilarious going on. So I'm not going to say any names. I'm just going to say what place they're in and in ERA. So
yeah,
the most strikeouts 2.7.
Okay.
The second most strikeouts 5.97.
Love that.
The third most strikeouts 1.93.
Huh.
The guy with the second most strikeouts in baseball with 47 strikeouts and 34 innings pitched has a 5.9 ERA.
That's wild.
Wow.
Who?
Shout out Garrett Crochet of the Chicago White Sox.
Oh, baby.
Who has 47 strikeouts, 9 walks, and a 5.9 ERA.
Look at.
Yeah, he had a really good start, and then he's fallen apart quite a bit.
That is hilarious. Like, that is two true outcomes. I'm either striking you out or giving up a home run. So be ready.
Yeah, that's.
Giving up 7 bombs in the season.
Huh.
Oh, you're going to love this start, Brian.
Oh,
April 13th, 4 2/3, 4 hits, 5 earned runs, 10 strikeouts.
Love it. That is a start.
Dude
is just like that. Me, to me, that's like I'm throwing a fastball in the middle. Like, I'm throwing my fastball as hard as I can, dead middle. And you're either going to hit it or you're not.
Yeah, it's that's your power versus power.
Yeah, that's all he's got.
I mean, I respect that.
Oh, but it was just too funny to not bring up when I was looking at that. But also talking about pitching, I want to talk about the San Francisco Giants pitching. Because coming into the year, the worry with the Giants was this rotation, right? Is this rotation going to be good enough? They need one more. Oh, they got Blake Snell. The rotation might be really good. Blake Snell's been horrible. So he's been nothing but the rotation as a whole, 9th in ERA and 6th in FIP, which is like, if you told someone that the Giants pitching staff was going to do that without Blake Snell, I don't know if they would have believed you. But shout out Jordan Hicks, who's been phenomenal. Obviously, Logan Webb. Kyle Harrison's been really solid as a rookie. And Keaton Wynn has been the best rookie pitcher on the Giants. Keaton Wynn has a nasty, nasty splitter. And the Giants rotation has been very fun to watch. They aren't winning games because their bullpen is horrible. The bullpen has a team 5.6 ERA for 30th in baseball.
Oh boy, that's
not how you win games.
That is rough.
So, Giants got to figure out the bullpen because it doesn't matter. Because, I mean, I guess maybe the answer to the bullpen is as your starters get healthy, you move some of these starters to the bullpen. But man, it's going to be hard to take them out of the rotation, but what are you going to do when Blake Snell's healthy, when Robbie Ray, Alex Cobb are healthy? Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. Maybe Alex Cobb goes to the pen. That would be wild.
Could see it.
I mean, yeah, he has the strikeout stuff. He'd probably be dominant, but I don't know. It's tough when you go your whole career as a starter, and he's been very, very good really recently too.
Yeah, that's always a tough ask. But
yeah,
somebody has to at that point.
You it's going
to
be Kyle Harrison guys. Or Keaton Wynn. Like, it'll be the rookies.
Yep.
Maybe not Harrison, but definitely Keaton Wynn, even though Keaton Wynn's been phenomenal. But yeah, like, shouting out my Giants, got to do it.
Yeah.
The rest of the team, they can't hit, but they can play defense.
Hey, love like, that.
Top. Me. If you look at top three, I want to say outs above average. Tyro Estrada and Nick Ahmed are both top three in all of baseball. And then you got Matt Chapman at third. So their infield defense is insane right now. And their bullpen just sucks.
Shout out to the bullpen catcher who apparently didn't die after.
Yeah, caught the ball.
That was crazy. The Camilo Duvall intro happened right after Duvall let his last warm-up pitch throw. So the lights just completely shut off while the ball was hurtling to the catcher at probably not his 100% speed, but probably somewhere in the 90 miles per hour range where it's like, oh my
gosh.
That's
still a bullet coming to your head.
Yeah.
It got the glove, though. All that matters.
Yeah. That was horrifying, though.
Do you guys want to try guessing who some league leaders are in certain stat categories?
Sure.
Yeah. And then we could maybe finish it off with a little wavelength as we were.
As we played yesterday, we could teach Adam. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
So who is leading the league in doubles?
In doubles?
Yeah.
I mean,
so you mean like all the baseball?
All baseball. All of baseball, baby.
Pretty sure I know who it is because they just beat up the Jays. So,
Is it Marcus Lynn Betts?
No, it's Shohei.
It is not. It is Ohtani. Betts is four doubles behind. Ohtani has 14 doubles.
Yeah. Shohei's been doing it.
Do you guys want to do triples or is that too obscure?
I mean, it's probably no. It's not Shohei. Shohei has no.
It is not. It is not Ohtani.
Who would have it
fast?
Elly De La Cruz.
Ooh, good guess. No, they are both young shortstops. I will say
young shortstops. Oh, nah.
Nope, it is not O'Neill Cruz.
That's Bobby.
Bryce Terang.
Bobby. That's Bobby Jr. is one, and Bryce Terang is not one.
Not a shortstop. Where's a dude who perennially legs out extra bases? Jaron Duran.
He is third.
Okay.
He has three triples, one behind. Tied with Gunnar Henderson and Alex Kirilloff. I guess I gave away Gunnar Henderson is not
being other a young leader. Shortstop. Yeah, I don't know about
one
know
more with triples. Four triples.
Kim?
Shout out.
Noisy.
CJ Abrams.
We
talked about him last week.
Stud out in Washington. Talked about him. He is.
I literally mentioned how many triples he had last week.
And then we have home runs.
Probably
good old we mentioned him.
Actually, it's not Shohei. It's Trout. Yeah. It's Trout.
Trout's the Trout with his 10 bombs, 14 RBIs, and there is a young shortstop tied with Trout.
Elly, right?
It is Ellie's not Elly. Elly is one behind. He has eight.
I mean, if it's a shortstop tied with Trout, it's going to be Gunnar because Gunnar hit his test.
Gunnar Henderson is a stud with 10 bombs.
Yeah, shout out to the Orioles who are just, I think they have the most homers in baseball. And
I would not be shocked.
You know, if Gunnar could be like a 30-something home run guy and they just have several 30-plus guys, that is crazy.
Yeah.
And they're doing it in their park, too, which is...
Yeah. It's like the Giants doing it. It's just wild.
Yeah.
And then just so Noah could get his answer off, who leads the league in stolen bases?
Elly De La Cruz.
Elly.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Wow, shocker. I would be more... I'd be more interested in who's behind Elly. Because, like, I would think it's, like, either Bobby Witt. Well, I mean, obviously.
There is
like,
one player with... So, Elly De La Cruz has 18. There is one player with 13.
Yeah, because, like, in my head, I think Bobby, because I've been
I'm not
going to
lie. It's not Bobby. He's not six. Bobby. But damn. The guy number three, I've never heard of before. He has 12 stolen bases, so.
Okay. So, if you've never heard of him, he's on a team that no one cares about.
Shout out Jacob Young of the Washington Nationals with 12 stolen bases.
Oh, yeah, Jacob Young.
I don't know who Jacob Young is. You guys probably should be able to guess number two. He is a second baseman.
A second baseman? Terang?
It is Bryce Terang.
Terang, okay.
With 13 stolen bases.
Yeah, because I know...
fantasy team.
Yeah, because I know the other...
That's why I knew Adam. Noah would have it.
Yeah, Noah would have it if it's on his fantasy team. Yeah, because I know... Not for steals, because steals he's still pacing well, but home runs is where he's not. But Acuna had a really slow home run start.
Yes,
I think Acuna's doing home run still fine on steals though.
Yep, he has 11 stolen bases, one home run, 6 RBIs, 250. Yeah, that's kind of something you could talk about with this Braves team. The known suspects aren't hitting. Acuna's slow start, Olson's slow start.
I mean, except for Ozuna.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're being carried by Ozuna. Arcia's been pretty decent so far. Travis d'Arnaud has been insane. The backup catcher.
Yeah. You guys just don't have like a backup catcher that's that good? What do you mean? Like,
I do. Red Sox do. Maguire and Wong going crazy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Travis d'Arnaud, the best backup catcher in baseball, though, probably should be a starter for someone, if we're being honest here.
Like everyone else.
Yeah. But that's the point about the Braves. They have a good record and their stars aren't doing anything. So once their stars start clicking, Sean Murphy gets healthy.
It's scary.
Man, dude, this Braves team is
what a stupid. What an absurdly good team.
Yeah,
like it's so dumb. It's just a dumb good team.
They all are on contracts. Like they're there for the future. Yep. Like it's not like a team. Like remember the Royals when they went on that little run in the 2014, lost to the Giants. 2015, they won it.
Yeah,
and then it was all like
and then immediately it collapsed. Was like,
well, we can't afford to pay them. So Billy Butler left, Eric Hosmer left. Shout out Billy Butler being the first name I mentioned. Mike Moustakas, like they lost all their guys because they had no money. Except and that's Salvi. Not going to happen to this Braves team. Yeah, Salvi is still
Salvi, by
it.
The way, having a good year.
Oh, arguably best catcher in baseball right now. Defensively and offensively. Like
Salvi's been crazy.
Well, he's mostly playing first base. Time, but...
Yeah, he's actually playing a lot of first base. But
look at his defensive metrics at catcher, though. They're insane right now.
Yes.
But still, you got to play games at the position.
Yeah, I'm just saying, dog.
But either way, Salvi's been going crazy. Dude's having a total vintage Salvador Perez here, and you love that for him.
Yeah, he's an absolute stud. Oh, now I want to see how many games he's playing at each position. Where is it? 2024. He's caught 18 games, played first 7 and DH3. So he's catching a decent amount. 18 games catching. That's 2/3 of the game. He catches that, you're very happy.
Yeah,
and he's still hitting.
Yeah, still saying OPS. Casey's winning that division. They're coming for it.
Well, and that's a little behind. He's actually at a 1 dot exactly after factoring in today's stats. So,
dude,
ready.
Which central is worst?
Dude, I mean, right now? Man, it's hard. I think it's only the AL just because the floor is lower.
Yeah, I was going to say which division finishes with the worst win percentage, and it's, like, impossible not to say the AL because of the White Sox.
I mean, the White Sox just suck. Like, although, I mean, they swept the Rays inexplicably. Somehow swept the Rays.
The Rays are...
By the way, if you haven't heard the full call of the Andrew Benintendi walk-off home run, you have to. It is incredible.
It's great.
Okay, I need to watch this after. I heard you guys talking about it before. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Is. Oh my gosh, the guy, he talks about all the haters who have been hating on the White Sox. And he says, say it with me now, Southside, stand up. And he's all hyping up the White Sox. And he's like, they have won 2 in a row for the first time. Oh, yeah.
Incredible. You know what? I love it for him. I'm proud of him, dude. They're trash.
It's a little cringy, but in a great way. So
yeah.
But do we want to finish it off with a little wavelength?
All right. Yeah, what is this? Because it sounded like you guys know what the heck you're talking about, and I don't.
Yeah. It's a game Noah taught me and our friend Kyle the other day.
Okay.
And we were playing it, having a good time. So should we just play it once and Adam can like observe, and then we can kind of explain it a little more?
Okay. Yeah. So sure. Yeah. Basically, there's one person that has a number 1 through 10 in their head.
Okay.
And then the other person or the other people get to ask them a few questions. And for the answer of each question, they present a name or a thing that they would rate that thing out of 10. So they have the secret number in their head, right? So say if the number was, you know, like, for example, I had the number 1 and someone asked me, give me a Major League Baseball park. I said, the Oakland Coliseum.
Oh, hey, that's and, cool. All right. Dang. Yeah. Brutal. At least a 2.
But
let's be honest here.
Yeah, I list things that I would rate a 1 out of 10 to answer their questions. And then at the end, they have to try and guess what number was in my head.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So how we were playing it with 3 people is one person has a number.
Yeah.
And the other 2 people alternate asking 2 questions each.
Okay.
And then we would both try guessing the number. So I guess we just fully explained it. So
yeah.
Would you rather have the number first or ask the questions first, Adam?
I mean, I'll ask questions. We'll ask questions. Okay. Got some questions.
I got a
first.
Number then.
You got one? All okay. Right. Hmm.
And well, I guess we could go outside of baseball, but we want to have some baseball
related questions, of course. Let's just do baseball.
We'll keep it strictly baseball.
We'll keep it to
let's do strictly baseball.
All right.
On the roster of Giants players.
Oh. Oh, okay. Let me pull up the roster real quick. Oh, not the New York Giants. Wrong Giants roster.
Wrong roster. Eli Manning.
Oh, okay. This is a tough one. I'm going to say... And is your question, like, performance right now?
I'm saying, or yeah, just as of right now, yeah. How you feel about him right now?
Okay. And then I say the player name, yes, Michael Conforto.
Okay.
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 Conforto. Do I guess the number already? Or
Not yet.
We each get to ask two questions.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So you get to hone in your number a little more through the next question.
Okay. Okay.
Honestly, this probably is a lot harder without being able to see the person's facial reaction when you say it.
Yeah, probably a little bit.
Okay. Give me a first baseman.
A first baseman. Okay. Okay. Let me look up some first baseman because I don't want to miss anyone that would be correct. Yeah, let's do that. I was gonna look up all time, but then that makes it complicated.
That's yeah, maybe keep everything to this season.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So I went with Michael Conforto for the first one.
And for you're about this to say... one?
Michael Conforto.
No, just run it back with him. I'm gonna say Josh Naylor.
Oh, okay. I think I just got bumped up a little bit.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I'd say that.
Okay.
It bumped me up a bit, too.
Okay.
Maybe you feel differently about Michael Conforto than I
do. Yeah. Okay. Your final question, Adam.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Boy, that's it's almost hard to like try to formulate like something that I'm like, how would like it would have that kind of a ranking.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go with the question that you guys use an example. MLB Stadium.
Ooh, MLB Stadium. Ooh, that's gonna be tough. It's really hard because, like, I've only been to so many. Right?
Yeah, I mean, this could also just so be, like think about, like, watching a game from, like, TV, like, of that, like, that stadium kind of, like, you know, like, you get the different camera angles or whatever, and...
I think that one would be too high. Do you know what? I'll go to the stadium we went to last year, the Seattle Mariners.
That's my exact guess. That's exactly what I thought you were going to say.
Okay.
Okay, give me a food item you would eat as a fan at a baseball game.
Oh. this is a tough one.
Mm.
Like, I don't know if I'm going to have anything that correctly lines up.
Because
I think I'm very hot or cold. Like, it's very much thing. Yes or no. Well, no, it's like a yes or no thing for me when I go to ball game. Like, there's a group I think of as yes foods, and there's a group I think of as no foods at ball games. So, like, I'm going to have to go to the yes or the no category.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have to... I almost made a big mistake. I almost said my number. I'm gonna go with bratwurst.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm between two numbers. I don't know how many numbers you got in your head, Adam.
I've got one, I think, that I'm gonna go with.
Hey, do you want to go first? Or do you want me to guess first?
I'll go. Is this just a good eight?
Yeah, that's my guess as well. I'm between seven and eight, but I will say eight.
I was at a six.
Wow.
No!
You're lower on Naylor than I thought.
So, okay. So that's where I was going to say.
Interesting.
I was putting it out of 30, right? Like, I don't think Naylor's a top 10 third baseman. So to me, he can't be, if I don't think he's a top 10 third baseman,
sure.
He can't really be a 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, sure. That's
so like that's kind of how I got at 6 with him.
Okay.
But based on your guys' reaction, I had a feeling you guys went really high with the Naylor pick.
Well, I went higher, and then I feel like going Mariners ballpark, going T-Mobile, I thought it was a nice park. Good.
It's a good park.
A good place.
It's a top 15 park.
Okay.
And all right. That's why it's at 6.
Okay. Above average.
Yeah, above average park. I liked it. It's above average.
Hmm. Okay.
Where did I throw you off, Noah? Same kind of things?
Yeah, same thing. Josh Naylor. Because I wasn't just going off of strict performance. I was just going off of how much you like him.
Oh, of vibes.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking. Vibes. Like,
okay.
Because like, but like, if I threw vibes in it, like.
Well, yeah, I mean, boy, vibes, whole different thing.
Well, yeah, like,
and then also I was
Pete Alonso, not top 10 vibe guy.
Yeah, I was ranking Conforto like not as like a left fielder overall in baseball, but just in relation to the Giants roster.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I did.
That's yeah.
Oh yeah. So you think he's?
I think he's six. When you said it's funny when you said Conforto, I wrote because I wrote down my range of Conforto, which was 5 to 7.
Okay.
Which would have been bang on. But then you said Naylor, and I was like, I got to bump that range up. It's got to be like 6 to... I was like, it's got to be like 6 to 8. It's got to be a little higher.
Ooh. Okay, let's do... Do we have time for one more?
I think one more. I'll do one.
Okay.
I got a number.
Ooh, okay. Give me a closer.
Ooh. Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's tough.
A closer. Huh. Let me think about that one for just a bit.
Yep. You could pull up a list of closers. I did it pretty much every time.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah, well, I'm looking. And where I'll go, it's this season. So it's just closers, you know, right now.
Yeah.
Man, that's kind of tough. Oh man. Okay.
Need an answer out of you.
I know. Yeah, this is really you know what? I'm dang it. I am gonna say I mean I guess he technically is. I'm gonna say Abner Uribe.
Oh.
Okay.
That is a guy.
That is a person.
Uh-huh. I will confirm. He is a person.
He is a person.
If you ask me to guess what team he's on.
He's on the Bruins.
Might get the wrong
team. Want to know.
No, I
okay. I did not know that.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that either. I'm going to be honest here.
Give me something that a baseball player would wear.
How does that get graded?
Like what you personally rate, like an accessory or
something accessory.
That you would personally rate it out of 10.
That a baseball player would wear?
Yeah, on the field. Yeah.
On the field. Okay. I'm just trying to like frame how I would even rank anything of that at all.
It could be like an elbow guard. Maybe you really hate elbow.
You know what? Like, I am gonna. No, I do have one.
Okay.
The like really baggy pants, like the pants that go well past your
the hem of that pant is getting through.
This checks out for where I was thinking, so we're good.
Yeah.
My next question is, give me an eye black style.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, man. You know what? It's the like smeared down war paint one.
Okay.
The one where, yeah.
I don't dislike that one, but. So I see that.
Are you saying you dislike the other?
All right, give me a second baseman.
A second baseman. Okay. Boy, let's see. A second baseman. I'm going to go Nicky Lopez.
Okay.
Talking a lot of White Sox this episode.
Yeah, you know.
sometimes
it fits.
That might have bumped me up. I'm not going to lie.
I'm in between two numbers.
Mm-hmm. I say you gave me some that are a little hard to pin down a good grade on. I'm gonna be honest.
I did closer and I'm back.
Closer might have been the hardest one.
Yeah,
I can explain.
I thought the accessory thing, you would need, like, you'd have some that you have like really strong opinions about both ways. I thought.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm gonna go with a 2.
Okay.
Okay, I was between 2 and 3, and for Nicky Lopez bumping me up, Gold Glove winner, I'm gonna go 3.
I was between a 1 and a 2, by the way.
Oh wow, no, yeah, you went a little too low. It is it was a 3. Nicky Lopez has been pretty disappointing this year, but he's not like absolute horrible. Closer is really hard to give a truly bad one because the really bad closers don't close.
You couldn't say Josh Hader because that might have been, I don't know. I guess you could have said Josh Hader.
Like when I was thinking of like low, like looking at closers, I'm like, who's even gotten save opportunities and like has gotten chances to close games, but has kind of sucked at it like at all. And it's just so tough. Pitcher. Yeah. Relief pitcher would have been a little easier.
I was going to do relief pitcher. And then when I went to say it, I was just like, saying closer.
Yeah. The super baggy pants, I think it's just cringe. It's just lame. It's just, don't do that.
See, that's why I thought lower.
Yeah. I
thought you disliked baggy pants more.
I definitely dislike. I'm a stirrups elitist. You know, come on, man. It's just a good baseball look. But it's not the worst thing that you can do. And then and then the eye black as well. I hate that. I don't like the smear down.
Fair enough.
It's not the worst one though, because I'd say if I had to give like a 1, it's the one eye smear down, which you do get.
I've never
seen
the one eye smear.
So in baseball I don't, and so I kind of expanded it to more like to think about it and more because who's the MLB or not MLB NFL player who does it? Hutchinson.
Oh yeah.
Aiden Hutchinson does it. He does the one eye smear down. It's the goofiest, stupid look. It's the stupidest looking eye black on the planet. It's actually horrible.
That's definitely more of a football thing than a baseball thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also hate it because there were dudes on the high school team who did that, and I was like, you guys look so dumb.
Well, that was talking eye black.
Yeah.
Of it. Yeah. I mean, that's all I got. That's all I got for today.
Go Giants. We gotta shout out the Braden series. The A's and the Bucks are swearing off.
Oh yeah.
Swearing off. Gotta love that. Shout out Dallas Braden, his two teams.
Huge.
Yeah, that's all I got to say.
So I got to shout out the currently the Braves. Freed finished 6 no-hit innings. Pierce Johnson pitched a no-hit single inning where he struck out the side. And now it's up to Jimenez.
Dude, I don't think I've ever seen a runner on the base paths look more helpless than Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
He's a big guy. It's rough. Doesn't got the speed. Okay. And with that, we'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
Later.